This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, July 30th. Well, we're finally at the end of the month. It's been a fairly choppy month, but wheat has performed pretty well. We had the expiration of the July contract. September is coming on at front month. That's going to give the market a look of an outside month higher and a strong undertone to the market. Now, fundamentals have certainly turned bullish. Primarily during this month. We started on that path in June, but it pretty much solidified during July with the spring wheat crop, for the most part, decimated across the northern plains and up into the Canadian prairies. The spring wheat tour this month pretty much confirmed that with an average yield of 29.1 bushels an acre. That compares to the five-year average of 43.6. So that's a significant drop, obviously. And USDA in this month's crop report had them at 28.0. So we're actually, the tour is actually a little bit higher than what the USDA had them. But I think it just underscores the disaster that has unfolded across the northern plains. And it's not just spring wheat, it's all spring crops and much of the winter wheat crop that, not that they grow a lot there, but some. And it just, the rains just weren't there. The heat certainly was, and we know what that does to a crop. So we got spring wheat for the most part leading the way higher, although Chicago was the best performer yesterday. Spring wheat backed off a bit into the close, and the night session has all the markets lower. So it looks like we're getting a bit of a pullback here. We've got Minneapolis down 10, Kansas City's down 5, Chicago's down 6, beans are down 10, corn is down 4. So we're getting some continued selling in the grain space. In the Midwest, of course, corn and soybeans have really just turned flat. They're chopping around sideways. The heat is just on the edge of the Midwest. Central Plains are going to see hundreds again into next week. And it's, the crops are pretty much, as far as wheat goes, they're pretty much done. It might take some yield off of corn and soybeans in South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas. But generally speaking, I think as we move into August, the market feels a little more comfortable about crop size as we wrap up pollination. That said, there still can be some damage done to corn and beans. We saw that last year with the continued dryness in Iowa, which the market really didn't pay attention to until you were harvesting. And it showed that yields were notably less than expected. I think the market will be more on point this year. And the forecast does suggest another at least 2 weeks of fairly dry conditions across the western, in particular the northwestern corner of the Midwest. The heat stays primarily confined to the Central Plains and just kind of nipping on the edges of the western Midwest. So we don't expect that will be a major factor, but it's mostly the dryness that is becoming more and more of a concern. Because you've already had a stretch of dryness, and there are some spotty rains that kind of keep the market at bay. But the bottom line is the market has really just not responded to the hot and the dry or really much of anything for corn and beans over the last 3 weeks. And it's just a matter of if we continue dry, is the market going to react? Now, it hasn't really sold off and fallen apart, but the upside has certainly been subdued. So with wheat being able to continue to push higher, it clearly shows that wheat is able to stand on its own and certainly has entered into its own bull market. Based on a significant supply disruption this year, and that really centered around spring wheat in North America. But we're also looking at some problems developing in the Black Sea region. We've been talking about this for a while. It's primarily spring wheat that is the issue in Russia and Kazakhstan, but we are also seeing disappointing yields in winter wheat as that harvest has progressed from the southern region up into the western and central Russia. The yields just aren't quite what they were expected to be. And most private estimates now have Russian wheat production below 80 million tons, whereas USDA has them pegged at 85. So we're seeing a notable drop in production there, which would suggest that the government is not going to remove the export tax. So that would suggest that export offers will continue to be relatively subdued out of Russia. And we've seen that even with the Egyptian purchase. they went with Romania and Ukraine. The Russians, in any normal year, would have been very aggressive capturing that business, but they just simply, they'd really never know for sure what the tax is going to be, and so they're just tepid about putting out aggressive offers. At the same time, Russian farmers have been slow sellers. There really isn't that much moving into the pipeline. And as a result, we've seen Russian prices, interior prices, take a pretty big jump over the last couple weeks. They were up $10 last week. They're up again this week. So that's elevating world price, because generally speaking, they set world price. And because they're a notable absence, and because their own prices are moving higher, it's just that, you know, that rising tide is lifting all boats. And the United States had already been fairly high, so it's making that world price more in line with where the U.S. offers are, and we're seeing more business flow our way. Export sales are showing that. We've had pretty solid sales over the last several weeks. Yesterday, export sales showed 510,000. In China, bought 128 of that, of all hard red winter wheat. So demand is good. Export sales have been good. We're running ahead of the pace to meet USDA's projections, and I would expect that USDA will start bumping that up, those projections up in upcoming supply-demand reports. So it all bodes well for wheat. The demand is there, at least steady, if not higher. And I would say, I would argue that it would be higher, because corn supplies are going to be tight. We're not going to see a lot of competition out of South America for corn, or feed grains for that matter. And that pushes demand over to wheat. With rising wheat prices, that raises feed grain prices. So it just, again, it's lifting all boats, the rising tide. All grain markets are moving higher. And I think that to protect supplies of wheat, you're going to have to keep those prices higher than corn. And again, that just, they kind of feed off of each other. If corn moves higher, demand shifts to wheat. If wheat's moving higher, it makes corn, it pulls corn higher. So I see that continuing. Corn was the leader to begin with, starting last fall, but now wheat has taken over leadership of the grain complex, I believe, and again, certainly can stand on its own, even if corn and beans were to kind of stall out here. I don't see them going into a bear market. I don't see us having such a huge corn and bean crop that it would actually, you know, put pressure on prices. Feed grain demand is too strong, and a lot of it coming from China, notably, especially with China making it illegal to feed food scraps to hogs. That just increases the demand for corn, and primarily, but soy meal, to feed these hogs. And they are increasing the herd at the same time. So demand from China is going to stay strong. Demand worldwide is going to stay strong. And we are seeing a significant drop in all grain production around the world, and notably wheat, but also notably corn out of Brazil. And corn exports, primarily out of South America, have slowed down because of drought and low river levels. They're not able to load as much on the barges. All of this raises the cost of moving grain, and it makes the U.S. competitive, and we're seeing a notable shift in demand coming over to the United States for not only for wheat, but also for corn. So it's a bull market, and you know, wheat was kind of the laggard, but now it has become the leader, or if nothing else, certainly keeping pace with corn and beans. But I think it has really become the leader of the wheat complex, and it boils down to high pro hard wheat, and that really zeroes in on spring wheat. But I think it's also worth pointing out that it also, you know, stretches out to hard red winter wheat. And we are looking at the planting season quickly coming upon us in the central and southern plains, and yet it's going to be 100 degrees in Nebraska and Kansas, and they're not looking at much rain, so they're quickly drying out. And it really depends on this next month of what kind of rainfall they get as to what kind of plantings you're going to get. The northern plains, I don't see farmers planting a lot of winter wheat unless they get a lot of rain fairly quickly. And that certainly is not in the forecast. So this is going to set up, I think, some very interesting fundamental dynamics that if producers in the southern and central plains back off on wheat plantings, then that sets the tone for a whole nother year of a bullish wheat crop, because again, I just don't see an increase in winter wheat plantings in the northern plains. Farmers will just wait it out and hope that Mother Nature throws some rain at them or good snow cover to get some moisture in the spring. But you know, they've got options to go to spring wheat, but you don't have that option from Nebraska on south. And I think that that really could be a game changer heading into another year where winter wheat is by far your biggest producing, your biggest volume for the wheat crop. Now, soft red could see an increase. You've got plenty of moisture in the Delta region, the southern Midwest, and the incentive to double crop soft red and then go to soybeans was high last year, and it's high again this year. So you could see an increase in soft red acres, but I doubt you'll see an increase in hard red acres. And I think that sets the tone for Kansas City to finally regain its leadership over Chicago, for one thing. But again, in the broader picture of the wheat space, it sets up the prospect of another bullish year for wheat heading into next year. So a lot of stuff going on here that are kind of just simmering, that are leaning in the direction of stretching this bull market out in wheat for quite some time. We'll just have to see what Argentina and Australia serve up as far as their production. But I would think that wheat would continue to move higher into at least early October, where then you start to get the harvest from the southern hemisphere that typically adds some pressure to the market. But if either of them run into production problems, that just accelerates the bull market for this fall and winter and into next year as well. So I'm very optimistic in wheat. I think we have turned the corner. I think we're very solid fundamentally. Technically, we're solid. We'll get our pullbacks, but I think the market just continues to move higher, at least into early October. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.